All right, welcome back to Two Song Podcast. This is Chris.
And this is Cam.
In this show, we try and sort every song ever into one of two categories, either a love song
or a fight song.
Yep, exactly right.
And that Christmassy intro that you just heard is from the late, great John Prine from his 1994 album, A John Prine Christmas.
Yeah. I think you said late, great. Poor John Prine. Dang. And this is episode 129 of our show.
Yeah, it is.
In the intro, the song is Everything is Cool.
Oh, yeah.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Just rolled right through it. Yeah, man. That John Prine was the first, I don't know if we, can we say this? COVID death? Is that a thing people are saying? Or, you know what I mean? Like, no one, people want to argue about what that even means. What does death mean? What does COVID mean? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember it was like an elderly singer-songwriter that if you like music, you've heard of and heard his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are in that kind of world were like, dang, this dude, like, you know, but I think it was like the first one I remember, the first quote unquote COVID death was John Prine. I was like, oh man, this is serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Hanks was the first like really public celebrity case.
That's right. Tom Hanks and his wife had it. And they're like, well, we're doing good.
Yeah. But they made it and it took John Prine from us.
Hey. Man.
Yeah. And he was up there. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he was quite 90. I don't know how old he was.
But he was old, yeah, and had health problems, so. But it is still sad. Because it's kind of one of those things where, like, especially, all right, put it this way. If you don't like John Prine, your favorite songwriter knows John Prine, likes John Prine, and was John Prine's friend. So he was such a well-loved, well-respected person.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to exactly explain. I mean, he's been around for forever. Like you said, this song's from 1994. But he was still putting out stuff, and you'll find on YouTube like old Austin City Limits videos from like the 80s, the late 70s, cool. I think. And you're just like, wow, he's really out there.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes describe him to people that haven't heard of him and might not find them on their own. It's like if Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson could like find a way to be one person.
Wow. Yeah. I never thought about that. But I was thinking of him kind of in relation to Bob Dylan, because in the last episode, you were kind of talking about an acquired taste for certain vocal performances. And I think John Prine fits into that category.
I think so, too. I've heard people say he can't sing, and that's why I think I gave a nod to Willie Nelson, because people say that about him.
Yeah.
But if you listen to John Prine in spite of ourselves, you will realize how wrong you are.
Yeah.
He can sing. He just... He's from like a genre and a mindset of like, what, I mean, I'm not a great singer. I won't hurt myself or offend you by really belting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to sing the Star Spangled Banner a cappella in front of a bunch of people because I'm not that good, but he can accompany himself and play and sing. And that's more than most people can do.
Yeah, certainly. And I think he's shrouded as one of the best songwriters. And I think that is where his influence was, influencing country music songwriting.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, or his music lives on as like one of the strangest songwriters out there that can still be relatable. Like when I listen to his music, I'm right on the edge of not understanding it and wondering if it's like a literary class I didn't get to take or missed or something. I'm like, I feel like I almost get these references. And to me, that's kind of fun. It's right on the edge of being too specific and too poetic to really get.
Yeah.
But I want to say that this song has another version. This is like the Christmas one. And there's a version of it that doesn't have sleigh bells, isn't as fast. The singing's not as high in the mix, as loud. And there's not extra guitars. It's such a strange thing.
Interesting.
So I would assume that song came first, and then it was like, well, it says Christmas in it a lot. What if we put it on the holiday album, and it's re-recorded, the holiday one sounds a lot better.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that the intro does sound very noticeably Christmassy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because of those bells that start the song off, mostly. But just a reminder that we're doing, for this holiday season, Off the Beaten Path, Christmas songs. And you know, he put it on a Christmas album, but it's not one that most people would think of to like listen to every Christmas.
Yeah.
It's not one of the, you know, it's not on the playlist usually, but
exactly.
I've also made a playlist that kind of is more of these songs that wouldn't traditionally be on a Christmas playlist. So maybe we'll link that or something.
Mm, that's a good idea. Yeah. Nice. Cool. I'm excited. I like this song a lot. And yeah, I know you said you did too. Should we go ahead and get into it?
Yeah. Sure.
Everything is cool. Everything's okay.
Yeah, so nice. I think that's the chorus. Mm-hmm. Just starting off with some Christmas bells and jumping right into the chorus.
Yeah, and the title too. Like the hook, mm-hmm. title, chorus, all that stuff. Yeah, I know. And he sometimes had a knack for picking like a spot in his voice that sounded better than others. I think this is the former, the way I just said it. It's a good spot for his voice.
Sweet spot.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it sounds so good to me.
I know.
And he probably lost some of his vocal strength, dexterity in his later years, which I think is what I'm most familiar with hearing, just from like watching him perform with Sturgill Simpson and stuff.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, he definitely did. I mean, you can hear, like, thinking The Lonesome Friends of Science is one where there are parts where his vocals just hit. You can just tell it's an old man singing. Mm-hmm. You just be like, I pictured, you know, an old dude.
Yeah, kind of a frail man.
Yeah. But I think it's such an interesting, like, way to grab you with a song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, the sound reminds me of, like, those corny 60s Hawaiian Christmas songs.
Yeah.
50s and 60s that were like such a gimmicky thing. And I'm not sure where it started, but Christmas in like a tropical place.
Yeah.
Became a real American idea.
Island Christmas.
Yeah. And it's very interesting. And it reminds me of that and the feel of it. And then especially the first line, everything is cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very beach bum hippie kind of idea. So yeah, I think from the beginning, from the intro of the song to the chorus, you're just right. You're locked in. Like, I think I've heard stuff like this before. I know how to take this song.
Yeah. And it starts out, you know, kind of sad because his baby went away just before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
A rough time.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, though. I think the reason this song can be so laid back and so zen is because no matter where in the calendar this song is written, mm-hmm. or like song takes place, not even written, but takes place, Christmas was a while ago, like, mm-hmm. because to me, before last Christmas, people only like refer to last Christmas as like fall to around Christmas time, don't they?
Yeah.
It's like, it's either Christmas or last Christmas. Same thing with next, like, mm-hmm. in October, if you're like next Christmas, people are gonna be like, you talking about in like a couple months? People won't be like, you mean in 14 months? They'll mm-hmm. think you mean, you know?
Yeah.
And because it is like clunky. Why don't you just say Christmas or this Christmas or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think just before last Christmas, to me, if this song comes out on a Christmas holiday album, it's talking about last Christmas, so it's been a year or almost a year.
Yeah. And if it were like January, February, then it would suggest he was talking about the one, not the most recent one, but maybe even, yeah, two Christmases. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
That kind of language can be really confusing, I think. And I like to think I have a good understanding of how people use it, and then people will just use it wrong and use it differently anyway. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. This song's interesting structure, huh? It's like a bunch of John Prine kind of poetry like in between a couple of choruses.
Mm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, because it's almost like four different verses
mm-hmm.
between this chorus that we just heard and the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be down to hear, maybe the first two, mm-hmm. or like if it's one long one, a second long one, whatever. But yeah, I think his thing, everybody that's a fan would say, is the lyrics, like you mentioned earlier. He's like in the rafters as far as a songwriter. And obviously he plays guitar and he arranges stuff, but that's not, he would say it's not even what he's known for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you kind of already mentioned after the intro that there's more guitars in this one than the other version, and I'm not really familiar with the other version, but there are just some cool things happening with like multiple guitars playing off each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you want to hear verse 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Across the sea to an island where the bridges bradly burn, so far away from my life, the valley of the unconcerned. I was walking down the road, man, just looking at my shoes, when God sent me an angel just to chase away my blues.
Dang. See, that's what we mean.
Yeah, I know. I guess I'm going to kind of skip over the first one for now. But I really just like, I was walking down the road, man, just looking at my shoes. Because it's the perfect way to just like paint a scene of like everyday stuff, you know? We have to walk literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's obvious that's what he was going for, because I was walking down the road just looking at my shoes. When God sent me an angel. That's just such a cool way to kind of downplay the significance of that day.
Mm-hmm.
Until he met this angel.
Yeah, I know. I love that. I like the description that I think it's easy to miss, like about in the first one, across the sea to an island while the bridges brightly burn.
Mm.
That's so, I think people could just get lost in being like, okay, neat, you know? And be more focused on the first line and why. And there's a lot of tales about stuff like that, like somebody went away and some, and like distance separated you two. But I really like the while the bridges brightly burn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a twist or a new flavor on an old adage that people use all the time. And yeah. It's cool to be, to like call attention to it extra, but kind of also bury it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cause he's, seems like trying to get away and go off to an island, and then he's happy that he's using this common figure of speech that he's happy to be kind of cutting ties from everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I just love his delivery of the Valley of the Unconcerned. And we've already kind of talked about the island vibes and that he's kind of trying to escape something. And so he's just joining all these other people that are happy to be burning their bridges and off on an island for Christmas. Something.
Interesting. Whoa. Okay. I read it as the exact opposite. How weird is that?
Oh, that his land was the Valley of the Unconcerned?
Yeah, that he was on the mainland, that he stayed behind.
Hmm.
Well,
I think for me, the so far away from my land kind of is him like leaving that behind to go to the Valley of the Unconcerned. But I guess now I'm confused, because islands aren't valleys.
They can. Like, some of them have mountains on them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let us know what y'all think.
Yeah, that's open to interpretation.
Yeah, certainly.
Like you mentioned, though, there's all the kinds of like extra guitar. There's like fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he had to, or he wanted to get a session player or somebody in his band. He always, the live videos I've seen, has had like a really good band.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one guy, his lead guitar player, you can see him like grow up and age because John Prine's been playing so long.
Wow. Cool.
And John Prine for a long time, but probably 20 years of videos, looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Then seems like he had that condition where he was always leaning forward just a little.
Oh yeah.
And he had like a tuft of white hair on the front of his head, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time he looked the same, and this guy's like fully grown up, matured. It's very strange. But the little embellishments, the little like double stops on the classical guitar, and like some little like pedal steel stuff, you know, kind of stereotypical country
mm-hmm.
sounding steel guitar, it's just so cool. And they're worked in perfectly. Like, they don't need a full solo. They need to just, like, be turned on and hit a little lick you know, kind of take it to the next dimension and then get out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. And it kind of reminds me of a lot of the quick little soloing embellishments that Seth Avitt will do. Specifically some of the like Spanish inspired stuff, like mm-hmm. If It's the Beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think it's because it's pretty low on the fretboard, pretty close to the top of the neck or the headstock. And Seth just loves to play around up there to mm-hmm. embellish the chords that they use.
Yeah, I know. That's like a lost art. I don't know when it became like out of fashion or whatever, but I think it sounds so cool when somebody does it.
I love it so much. And you know, I think it's safe to say John Prine influenced Seth.
Mm. Yeah. Early on in their careers, they had like a really good cover of one of his songs, maybe more than one of his songs.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple on Crocker Farm, I think.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like moving on and hearing the rest, a little bit more of the story?
Yeah. I'm ready.
I saw 100,000 blackbirds just flying through the sky. They seemed to form a teardrop from a black-haired angel's eye. Those tears fell all around me, and it washed my sins away. Now everything is cool, everything's okay.
Dang. He loves stuff like that, like colors and alliteration and animals.
Yeah.
And nature. Like it's hard to explain. Like he's got an earthy quality about him. And yeah. I keep speaking present tense like he's still alive, but I just mean the music's still alive.
Yeah, certainly.
But he just, I don't know, he's not like, all right, think of like a really, like a real character, like, oh man, like Tom Waits.
Mm.
He's not that far into like the look and the feel and the mood and the grit and the vibe at all times, you know?
Yeah.
But he does have a little bit of that. Like in some of his music videos, it's real weird and corny and like Americana hillbilly kind of imagery and feel. But it's like also always seems really innocent to me and really wholesome and not like drug fueled and seedy at all.
Yeah.
So he just is like a unique dude, was a unique dude in all those things. Mm-hmm. Usually there's more of an overlap in some of the negative stuff that leads people to that, whether it's like poverty or living like kind of like an on the road lifestyle.
Mm,
yeah. Like you may turn out wonderful art and you may be well loved and have a great career, but I don't know. He just never seemed to me to let that stuff, like it was his look, and I think a lot of the fans informed it a little bit, mm-hmm. but he never seemed to let it affect him in a negative way. He was like, I'm only here to glean the positive stuff.
Yeah.
And the same thing about like, he's not a fantasy writer or a, you know, he's not some kind of songwriter where like the imagery's too much and you're like, this is mm-hmm. too specific. I don't like it. I don't like this kind of music. It's just like, he'll touch on it in, like I said, a very poetic and very like Bob Dylan, high-minded, intellectual, critically acclaimed kind of way.
Right. And, but like still very relatable and like simple and grounded.
Yeah.
Which is almost like a paradox, but
it is
like the, you know, the goal, the thing that made them who they are and made them be so widely accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's like, that's what people love about him. And yeah, I think it has like, his fans are kind of like both, like a little bit more, I just like, you know, alt country. And then, no, I like this guy is, you know, could be a Pulitzer winning author, but he chooses to write songs. Don't you see how, whatever it is, don't you see that there's a commentary on something, something?
Yeah.
And the people are like, no, he just is really nice to us. He answers his YouTube comments. We like his song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
You'd said he has a real earthy, I can't remember the word that you used because I thought of a different word. earthy sound, but I thought palette, because it's like he's painting with his words, and then that made me think about like Bob Ross, and so then I was thinking of John Prine as like the Bob Ross of music.
Oh man,
because it's so wholesome too, like you were saying.
Dang, yeah. So he will talk about like funny things or adult things, but he'll do them in a very innocuous way. Like there's one line where someone else would use a slang term, and he just says gets it on or everything. Yeah. That like I think he says she gets it on like the Easter Bunny or something like that, which is a crazy lyric, but that's him, that's his thing, because you kind of like know what he means.
Yeah.
But you know, that verb like rabbits is a saying, but not the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, I know.
It's so odd. It's peculiar and specific. But like, to me, getting it on, I mean, yeah, you could say that probably in a PG movie.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be an issue at all.
Cool.
But I mean, musically, what do we think? Just so very straightforward. Like effortless, jangly kind of chords.
Yeah. And not very many chords.
Yeah. And not very many changes and almost nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a bass that is just like supporting the guitar, but I mean, that's a boring part.
Yeah, and then I can appreciate that too, because it's just like serving the lyric. You know, it's just like, yeah, I have a good band and I could get anybody in here in the studio that I want, but I just want y'all to listen to these songs I have to say. Like, you know, my baby went away, but also everything is cool.
yeah for real,
that's what it's really about. Did y'all hear me?
Yeah, and in a way it kind of points toward that, like this is not punk rock because everything is cool, this is not heavy metal because everything is cool.
Yeah,
this is, you know, alt country singer songwriter. Yeah, wow. And then like the style, the tempo too, is like, for real, everything's cool. Like, you couldn't be much faster and be believable, and being slower would be like, you know, because every time I feel like a song is too slow, it's like, are we at a funeral, or we at something that's supposed to be somber? And to me, somber and cool aren't the same thing. So,
yeah,
it's
a perfect tempo.
Yeah, I think so. It really is. I'll say this, though, the other version is a little slower, and he's not as perfectly on tempo on that.
Well,
it's real kind of raw and more indie, but again, it's older. So,
Yeah, he might have been like refining it on tour or something, just playing it more and thinking of other stuff to add to it and a better tempo for it.
Yeah,
especially for a Christmas album, I think you'd want to pick it up a little bit, make it a little bit. And it's the first track on a John Prine Christmas.
Yeah, it is.
I'm glad we listened to those two sections, those two verses together, because the second one kind of references the tear drop shape of the what are they called? The flock of birds. So that first one kind of sets up that image of just like so many blackbirds making this shape together. And then they like he ties them to the angel, and then kind of attributes them and the angel to washing his sins away. And then we get a kind of a early version of the chorus right there at the end of that, which you could call a fourth verse. It just brings the hook back in.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I like the tie-in. I like that it's not so plain and so linear and like insulting our intelligence. Just being like, all right, as you know, some things have to come before some things. He doesn't do that. He doesn't, you know, and he also doesn't really spell it out for us either, because they seem to form a teardrop. And, you know, that tear fell all around me. It's like, well, were you safe? Were there some on you? You know, it's like, don't you getting too bogged down in it? It's just, I'm just kind of like telling you my version of the story, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah.
Such a cool way to put it. Because it, And it's like a not very clear way of saying that he, or at least I guess I'm guessing here, but like met a dark haired lady, presumably on this island. Which I just think is kind of cool, because you know, everything is cool and everything's okay, even though my baby went away last Christmas. And then he meets someone else and everything's still cool. Everything's still okay.
Yeah, bingo.
But probably a little bit more cool.
Yeah. Well, because the now is in there. Now everything is cool. Everything's okay, you know?
Yeah. It's like he was just faking it until he made it.
Yeah. I was going to say something similar. That's exactly what I was thinking. He was like saying it to reassure himself and nobody else. Mm-hmm. And then he actually was like, oh, nice. But now I finally believe it.
Yeah. It's like driving to the island. Like, yeah, everything's cool, you know? I'm going to the island. And then it really is cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we hear the chorus one more time?
Yeah. Do it.
Just before last Christmas, my baby went away.
Dang. I love that. That is, to me, such a Christmas song thing. To be like, let's have a long, slow, deliberate, like, solo, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and a melodic solo, too. I mean, to me, Christmas songs are so melody heavy.
Yeah.
Like the ones that have 4 and 5 verses, people are like, and they kind of fake it because the yeah. first two are the only ones they know.
Yeah.
But they'd know the tune anywhere. And another thing, for whatever reason, and because a lot of holiday music is religious music, like it started as Christmas music.
Mm.
And I guess it's like, well, we can play it on the bells. We can play it on the organ. We can play it with horns. We can play it with strings. We can play it with a choir, a cappella. Like, there's all different ways to do it. So we've people that are familiar, you know, in the Western world with Christmas music and other holiday music, but Christmas is the predominant one, not even in religious influence, but in music.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not really up for debate. It's like the music for Christmas is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It just has it cornered. But like, we hear the melodies so much. So in a cover, if someone plays a melody instrumentally, you're like, cool. And to me, now I'm not saying that that's a shot for shot melody. It's not
right.
verbatim. But it is kind of like, it hints at it, it quotes it a couple of times, and I just like that it's in the middle. Like, there's just so many Christmas songs that do that.
Yeah.
Like, I've worked retail for several Christmas seasons, and you would just be just stuck listening to that music, and then you would hear that it wasn't singing. You'd be like, what is this? And you just had to pause for a millisecond. You could realize, oh, they're singing it, but just with the guitar, or just with the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you just hear, like, 3 notes in a row, and you're like, oh, that's that melody.
Yep, exactly, yeah. But I really do like that. And it's neat because it kind of, we've talked about this with songs where the music was released after the artist's death, which is not the case. But, you know, songs where there's like a big instrumental passage and we go, oh, was it not finished? That's kind of cool and heartbreaking and poetic and perfect in a way that it wasn't finished. And this song was, but I also like that the story's not finished. Like, we don't get much else in lyrically, you know, like we like when a movie reveals a bunch of junk by dialogue and you're like, you're lazy.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Exposition.
Yeah. It's like that. We don't get much more. So I think it's kind of neat to have that part of the story have a big break in the narrative and then it just have like, I don't know, like you could totally do a montage to that section.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's very theatrical and wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he just met this dark-haired lady, and well, they're on an island,
mm-hmm.
and here's some cool island sound and music that alludes to the melody.
Yeah. Dang. And, you know, I noticed we were talking about serving the lyrics, like the rhythm section. They're technically there. They technically got session pay or get royalties now. But I mean, wow. I just don't know how long it would have taken them to record their part.
Yeah.
However long the song is, you know?
Yeah. Man. Yep. They just like told them the chords and then maybe two takes later. Mm-hmm. Just like, all right.
Yeah.
Enjoy your Christmas.
Yeah, like the drums and the bass. Well, we got it, but let's do one more. And then you guys can get out of here and you've only been here 30 minutes. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Darn. Well, should we hear this kind of outro chorus thing? It's kind of a different section.
Yeah. Hear the rest?
Yeah. Been a finding real surprising for myself to hear me say that everything is cool, everything's okay. Everything is cool, everything's okay. Why, it was just before last Christmas my baby went away. Yep, I like that it doesn't have much of an outro outside the singing, and it just is wrapped up with that like really bright, clear, round, resolved chord.
Yeah. And the like lap steel or whatever it is, just like does a couple really nice slides that kind of tie, wrap everything up before it just kind of like, not exactly fades out, just rings out.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah, it truly rings out, yeah.
Very peaceful out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it's just, you know, the genius of John Prine. It all fits like it. A really like staccato chopped intro would be like, this whole thing was a joke. You know, like imagine that. Imagine if it was like, oh, just for last Christmas, my baby went away, and then just quit. It'd be like,
yeah,
I don't know. He's making fun of himself in this song. He's making fun of us. What the heck? But it just, yeah, it fits with the carefree attitude. The whole feel of the song, the whole mood of the song. Mm-hmm. I do like the one part that there he admits in this last time we hear the everything's okay. I find it real surprising.
Yeah. Which supports us kind of how we were talking about he was just telling himself that it was okay until it actually was.
Yeah, I know, exactly. That's, and I had forgotten about that part when I mentioned it earlier, but yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm reassuring myself. And then, like, it worked. All those old mental tricks and stuff, they really work. I eventually surprised myself by believing it one day.
Yeah.
Darn. Such a cool song. I don't know why, but I just had, like, a hunch that he had Christmas music. I'd never heard it until we started trying to think of stuff for this. And I was like, well, but he had decades. I mean, he'd been doing this for forever.
Yeah.
And I just... Honestly, I wanted to find a Christmas song or two by him.
Cool.
Because I so enjoy his lyrics and some other stuff that he'll do. I'm not trying to say that I have every CD or have them all on vinyl or whatever. I mean, he's been a cassette tape too. Like, he's been around that long. I'm not trying to say that, but I just, the ones that I have heard, I've liked immensely. So, and it's been probably 20, 25, but I'm just like, man, this guy is something else.
Yeah.
And so I was so pleasantly surprised to find that he had a whole album.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to listen to the whole thing. He has a couple, like, traditional, popular Christmas songs. But it seems like it's about half and half, maybe a few more just John Prine songs that are Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He has more originals than most people on a Christmas album.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Love that.
Dang. Well... we're already through the song. Do you do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go ahead.
Okay.
So we talked about it being the perfect tempo, and not too slow or too fast. But with those as the only options, I would call it a slow tempo song.
Mm-hmm.
It's not upbeat. And we also mentioned how subdued the rhythm section is. Just serving the lyrics and not getting too crazy or stepping out of line at all, or even having any flourishes or accents. And all the flourishes are on this like really earthy, breathy, open sounding classical guitar, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very like breezy, peaceful, happy sound throughout the song. And although there is some like reference to heartbreak and being kind of happy to burn bridges, I think it's more about like choosing peace and choosing peace of mind, and kind of instead of just sitting around and being sad that his baby went away, he's gonna go and like make the best of it on an island somewhere, because he's already been doing music for 2 decades and he can afford to, or whatever. And I also get a sense of like self-care. Like he's decided to kind of look after himself, the character in the song, by going on this trip. You know, he's not worried about like family or like the people at home, and like satisfying their desire to like see him for Christmas. Just going off on his own. And then he also like meets someone else, and they have that really beautiful verse of instrumentation, and so I think it's much more a ballad than like a breakup song, and I think it's him like choosing to be okay, and you know, not really dwell on the suffering or the relationship that didn't work out. He's choosing acceptance and self-love, and then finds love also on the island. And so I have to say love.
Yeah. Dang, you're right. Yeah, it definitely is a ballad, I think. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It starts out like you might would think a breakup song, I guess, yeah, is what I'm like struggling, stammering. So yeah, it kind of is like the blues a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you're like, oh, everything's cool, everything's okay, and you think maybe it's going to be one of those sarcastic blues songs, or one of those mm-hmm. songs where somebody is saying, you know, like mean things about their ex, like, yeah, it's actually good because all they did was spend my money, or all they did was get me in trouble or scratch my car or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things that I think it's interesting to start a song with everything's cool with something that most people would be the opposite of cool with. And then
mm-hmm.
rather than have it be a pure blues, which are usually given to a bunch of motifs and tropes, you can recognize a blues song right away. I think it's like neat to take it to a, yeah, like a, I said earlier so many times, different ways, just like a beach bum, hippie island kind of Christmas.
Yeah.
But not campy either, not with any of like the silly, you know, local language appropriated, like some of those old songs.
Yeah.
Like I just remember the one that we always played when I worked during the holidays was it was like Merry Christmas in Hawaiian, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, why? This is so clunky. It's like a tongue twister, so I guess it gets stuck in people's heads, but this is the opposite of that. This is like low effort, low energy, and it's almost like take it or leave it. Like the audience is, mm-hmm. is going to like that and be like, oh, I was feeling the same thing. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Or not, but John Prine's just like, yeah, but these are how a lot of my songs sound, and this is like kind of how my whole demeanor is, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you that musically, it's not very spirited, and even for a Christmas song, it's not very celebratory or like big and energetic and stuff like that. You know, some Christmas songs are too much, and then also Christmas music is like a subgenre of pop music at this point.
Yeah.
So it has to have like its own thing to be more sugary, more tasty than regular pop music.
Yeah, and brighter and upbeat and
like more produced and all that stuff. Yeah, so I think sonically it is 100% a ballad, and I also think lyrically, even though the characters aren't fully fleshed out in this song, which is a very typical John Prine thing to do, because it's not about that, really, almost never to him. I think ballad also, and so I gotta say love song.
Nah. Yeah. Yeah, and just kind of in support of some of what you were saying about the blues and him kind of playing around with that, like, this is not a blues song, but like some themes of that in there. He talks about God sent me an angel to chase away my blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Yeah, thank you. That's a good pull.
Yeah, and then also you kind of talked about this being his whole demeanor. Mm-hmm. And I think just from really just other musicians that I like, the way that they respect him and talk about him, really paints a picture of him being this just like lovely, gentle old man that was like really important to them and there for them and happy to like mentor and help.
Yeah, cool. He was kind of like country music Gandalf.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. Like he just, everything he said was poetic, and people were like, wow, is that from something? No, you just said that? Wow, man, you're different. You're seriously, from your soul out, different.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But yeah, like him said, let us know your interpretation, because I think people could differ. I think it could go either way.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep. And check out John Prine. And for real, you can, like I said, he did answer YouTube comments. He would like tell people to say something, they'd say it, he'd log back on and check it. It was pretty cool. He's a neat guy. But anyways, happy holidays. It's getting closer and closer, but I feel like we're fully in it. It's like, you know, early to mid-December.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy holidays. And thank y'all so much for listening.
Yeah, bro. Thank y'all. Cam, thank you.
Thank you, man.
Of course.
We'll talk at y'all again next week.